If you've been with us for the last 7 weeks or so, we've been talking through this series called Family on Board. And in Family on Board, what we're doing is we're taking a look at the Old Testament book of Proverbs, which was written by this guy named Solomon. And Solomon spent many years as the king of Israel. And over that time, apparently, he became a very wise individual and decided to pass on that wisdom by writing down words and phrases and ideas in this book, which later became known as Proverbs. And specifically, when we're looking at Proverbs, what we're doing is we're looking at what Proverbs has to say about family. So we've talked about what Proverbs has to say about men and women and marriage and children. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what Proverbs has to say about parenting. Now, if you don't have children at home right now, I don't want you to check off your brains just yet, because I believe that a lot of you have children at home. A lot of you have adult children or grandchildren. Some of you are aunts or uncles. Some of you will someday be parents. And so I believe that there's some important wisdom in what we're about to talk about for every single person sitting in this room. So listen up, because we're going to talk about how you can grow influence with children. We're going to talk about how you can grow influence in a child's life, whether that's your own child, someone else's child, a grandchild. Doesn't matter, these principles are going to work no matter what stage of life you're at. So since I'm up here talking about what parenting is all about, I figure I would tell you a little bit about what my credentials are for talking about parenting, right? Because, I mean, who wants to listen to someone who's not an expert, right? So I since eighth grade, I've been teaching kids younger than me. I went off to college and became a youth minister, had all these classes in child psychology and all that kind of fun stuff. Got out of college, served 3.5 years as a youth minister with 5th through 12th graders, and then spent 2 years as a substitute teacher in Hernando County, and then spent 4 years as a children's minister working with 1st through 5th grade. Lots of books, lots of learning, and all that didn't prepare me for parenting. So my immersion into parenting, and I'm going to call it immersion because that's what it was, I got married when I was 25. My wife had 2 children from a previous marriage, and then 1 showed up in the first 2 months of our marriage because of some choices, poor choices that we had made earlier on. So within a month of being married, a month and a half of being married, I had 3 children. And I had been a bachelor for 25 years of my life, got to do things my own way, and all of a sudden, I am immersed into parenting. I had to learn how to be a dad really quick. And thankfully, in the last 8 years, I haven't lost any of them. They're all still alive. There have been some threats, but they're all still alive. So let me introduce you to my family real quick. That's me and my wife. And listen, in terms of family photos, this is about as good as it gets. You know what I mean? Like, if 2/3 of the people are staring at the camera, we're doing pretty well for ourselves. So left and right. Okay, on the left-hand side, that's my daughter Madison. She's 13 years old. She's our first teenager, and honestly, guys, she's the easiest teenager in the world. It's great. It's nice. I'm not looking forward to the other ones becoming teenagers because I know it's not going to be as good as Madison being a teenager. And maybe someday she'll be a miserable teenager, but right now, she's great. I love having her around. She loves to read. She loves to talk to us. She loves to hang out. She loves the things that we love. It's amazing. It's amazing. If she was going to get an award in our family, it would be most likely to become a librarian, because that's what she wants to do with her life right now. So, in the orange shirt, that's Blake. Blake is 12 years old. He's the sweetest kid you'll ever meet. Loves to be squished and tickled and wrestled with. Blake is also nonverbal autistic, which means he doesn't talk, and he's pretty high on the spectrum, so he's probably going to get the award of living with us forever. I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to that or not, but it is what it is. And then the one with the face, I'm not sure what's happening down there in the white shirt. That's Kate. She's our 7-year-old. And Kate is our rule Nazi. She loves to be right and loves to tell everybody else that they're wrong. And she will argue you until her last breath. But I can't really blame her. She's actually the kid who's probably most like me in the family. So that's Kate, and then our 5-year-old, Emma. Emma is something else. You know, you know all your kids are a little bit different, right? Like, all your kids are different. Emma is just, I sometimes feel like, And I can say this because she's 5 right now and she's not actually in here. I sometimes feel like she may have been switched at birth. Not only because she looks a whole lot different than us, but she also, like, just in terms of behavior, isn't a lot like our other kids. She's something else. She is the most impulsive child I have ever met. And she loves to have fun. So if she's impulsive and loves to have fun, that just leads to all kinds of interesting situations. And you don't want to get in her way because she's awfully moody as well. Just the other day, she was talking to my wife about wanting to open a Christmas present because we decorate for Christmas, and she doesn't understand this concept of time. Like, hey, we still got 30-something days till Christmas. You got to wait until then. And my wife is like, no, you can't open the present. And she's like, if you don't give me a present, I'm going to pull the tree down. So she's training for the mafia. My kids are all a whole, they're just very different. They're all great. I love them all. I love them all. I'm not allowed to say favorites because my wife forbid me to use that anymore because I used to say that I had a favorite in the household. But they're all great. They're all great. So that's my family. So what I'm going to talk to you about today is what Proverbs has to say about parenting. I'm going to share a little bit of my life experience so far. And then I'm also going to share with you some of the things that I've learned along the way as a youth minister and as a children's minister. So let's talk about that. But before we get there, I need you to own something real quick. Okay, here's a phrase. I want you to own this phrase. I have more potential than anything else in creation to influence my child. Okay? I have more potential than anything else in all creation to influence my child. You have more potential than anything else in all creation to influence your child. And I say in all creation because I do believe that the Godhead, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they do have more potential to influence your child than maybe you do. But in terms of everything else, and I know there's a lot of distractions out there, right? You know, there's media, there's friends, there's teachers, there's all kinds of people who are speaking into your child's life. But you hold the potential for more influence than anything else. And that's some really good news to some of you and some really bad news to some of you, right? But I need you to own that. You have the most influence. You have the potential for the most influence, but you have to grow that influence if you want it, okay? You're going to have to grow that influence, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, is this idea of growing influence. Now, I believe you have the most influence for a couple of reasons. First of all, you have, from the birth of your child, 216 months, 936 weeks, or 6,570 days until they turn 18. Sounds like a lot of time, right? I've got the countdown going already. When my youngest is 18, I will be 45 years old. I planned this out right. So you have a lot of time. But that being said, they are going to spend time with a whole lot of other people along the way. But here's what I want you to understand. You have the potential for more time with your child than anything else. And time, used well, turns into influence. Okay? Over those 18 years, you're the constant presence. Okay, they're going to have different teachers, they're going to have different friends, they're going to watch different shows, they're going to like different artists, but you will have the most time with your child. You just got to redeem those moments and turn them into something good. Second, the other reason that I believe that you have the most influence is because experts believe that you have the most influence. Dr. Ross Campbell, a professor of pediatrics and psychiatry at University of Tennessee, said this: many parents feel no matter how good a job they do, their efforts have little overall effect upon their child. Just the opposite is true. Every study I've read indicates that the home wins, hands down, in every case. The influence of parents far outweighs everything else. The home holds the upper hand in determining how happy, secure, and stable a child is, how a child gets along with adults, peers, and different children, how confident a youngster is in himself and his abilities, how affectionate he is or how aloof, how he responds to unfamiliar situations. Yes, the home, despite many distractions for a child, has the greatest influence on him. You get that? Even the experts say that you have the potential for more influence than anything else, right? And if you don't believe me, here's something you might be familiar with, all right? You ever remember saying, I'm not going to do things like my mom or dad, or I'm going to be so different, right? I am now at the age where I find myself saying more and more often, man, that's something my mom would say. That's something my dad would say, right? Or something my dad would do. You guys know that, right? You see that in your own life. Your parents, whether or not you realized it, had a profound influence on the way that you live, on the way that you think, on the things that you say. We are more like our parents than we want to admit. And as a result, your parents, your kids are going to be more like you than maybe you're comfortable with right now. But you have the potential for more influence in your child's life than anybody else. Now, here's the thing I saw as a children's minister and as a youth minister all too often. What would happen is parents kind of segment up their kids' life and they say, hey, you know, when it comes to education, I send my kid off to school and they do the educating. And when it comes to, you know, learning new skills or sports, I send them off to a coach or instructor and they learn new things. And when it comes to my kid's spiritual life, I send them off to the church and the church fixes them. And that's not how it works, guys. If you have the most influence, if you have the potential for the most influence, then that means that you also have to own the responsibility for your child's spiritual life. You have to own the responsibility for your child's spiritual direction and where they go in their relationship with God. That's your responsibility before it's anybody else's. Now, the church is here to help educate you, to help train you, to help equip you, to help encourage you when it gets tough. But you have the primary influence. So you are the primary responsibility for your child's spiritual life. Own it. That's the, you know, everything else that we talk about today rides on this idea. Okay, so you've got to believe this when I say to you, you have the potential for the most influence. Now let's talk about Proverbs for a second. In Proverbs, it's a very simple idea, okay? You're going to find these verses all throughout Proverbs about children, about raising children, and they all center around this one idea. The one idea is this. You want to raise children, well, ignore that for a second, sorry. You want to raise children who are wise, not children who are fools. You want to raise children who are wise, not children who are fools. This idea of wisdom and foolishness, this is the dichotomy that Solomon talks about all through Proverbs. Over and over again, it's mentioned. Wisdom, foolishness. Right at the beginning of Proverbs, he writes his reason for Proverbs. Proverbs 1:4, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So Solomon penned the words of Proverbs to give wisdom to those who are without. And children are one of the, you know, they're some of the ones who are without, right? And so he goes on to write later on in Proverbs, he says, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. He writes, a foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. So we want to raise children who are wise, not children who are, right, wise children, not foolish children. And so there are all kinds of ways, okay, all kinds of things that wisdom looks like and all kinds of things that foolishness looks like. You can listen back to the last 7 weeks and hear wisdom and foolishness all along. Well, not too much foolishness, hopefully mostly wisdom, right, Joe? Mostly wisdom. So Proverbs says a lot of things on wisdom. We're not going to talk about the details of wisdom today. What we're going to talk about is how you can grow in influence to help raise a wise child. Okay, we're going to talk about how you can grow the influence to raise a wise child. Now, here's the thing, all right? Now you might be thinking, hey, my kids are gone, or my kids are really old, and I might not have the influence in their life to do this. You can start influencing your child right now. You can start growing that influence. Now, obviously, the younger your child is, the more that growth can be exponential, as in, like, if you start really growing your influence in a child's life, you know, as soon as they're born, you're going to have a whole lot more influence, but it doesn't matter what age your children are, you can start building these principles we're about to talk into your life right now, and you can start building the influence that you have with your child to help them make wise decisions instead of foolish decisions. So as a Proverbs parent, there are two things that you need to do. Two things. First is this, map it. The second is model it. Map it and model it. Those are the two things we're going to talk about today. Map it is an acronym. And the acronym is, I don't know why I'm trying to explain that to you. Don't worry about it. Each of the letters means something different, okay? So we're going to talk about five principles that you can do with your child right now to begin helping grow the influence that you have in their life. Now, this is not my idea. I actually stole it from a guy named Reggie Joyner, and he's much wiser than I, so I'm sure you're going to find these things useful. Map it. We're going to start off with the M. M means meet the right people. We want our children to meet the right people. Why? Because who we're around is incredibly important, right? You know that. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You know this. Who you are around shapes who you are. And kids are especially susceptible to this. They're like little sponges. They absorb the ideas and attitudes and language of the people they're around. That's just how they work. And guys, you're especially bad at this, okay? Anybody under 25 years of age in here, I apologize, but guys especially, There's this area in the front of your brain called the prefrontal cortex. It doesn't develop fully until you are 25 years of age, and that's where your discernment button is stored. Kids are not discerning, okay? And it kills me when I see parents like dragging their kid into a radar movie, not because maybe their kid isn't mature enough or can't handle it. It's because kids don't understand the difference between wisdom and foolishness. They don't. They don't have that discernment button built into their brain. We have to help grow it as parents, but you got to understand there's some actual physical things that are happening there. So it doesn't matter how mature your child is. Usually that discernment button isn't actually working until they're much older than you expect. But who they're around matters, because that's going to shape who your child is. For example, I was 5 years old. I went and hung out in McDonald's parking lot with my, or not parking lot, because that's what we do anyway, parking lot. No, playground, McDonald's playground with my family. And we're playing around in there. I start playing with this other little boy. And we get home, and my parents are like, hey, you need to go get a bath, get ready for bed. And I start singing the song. Dun, 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 dun. Can't touch this. Right, now, just a precursor for that, my parents listened to things like The Beatles and Pink Floyd. My mom liked show tunes like Les Miserables, and my dad listened to like Billy Joel and stuff like that. So that was my exposure to music. So they're like, where did you learn that? It was from this other little boy, right? It didn't take long of hanging around with someone for me to absorb the information that he had to share, and I suddenly owned it as my own. Children are like sponges. We want them to hang out with wise people, right? So here's what we're going to do as parents. We're going to widen the circle. Who has the influence? Parents, you have the influence. You're at the center of the circle, but you can widen that circle. And here's the reason you want to widen your circle. You're going to widen the circle and introduce other people into the circle who have wisdom, who have can grow influence in the lives of your children. Okay? And here's what you want to do as a parent. You want to find people who are wise and ask them to hang out with your kids. It's that simple. Dave Pardue used to say that he would pay people to go hang out with his kids. You know, go take them out to eat, go to a movie, whatever. Because when you're building that relationship, they gain the influence to speak into their child's life. And it's not that he was trying to get rid of his kids for the day. It was because he wanted that person to develop the relationship that they needed to speak into his child's life. You're going to widen that circle. Because guess what? There's going to be a point in your life where your kid doesn't want to hear what you have to say. You know that, right? There's going to be a point. Now, hopefully, that changes over time. You know, you can grow a better relationship with your child once they get past some of the tough years right in the middle. But there's going to be a point where they don't want to hear what you have to say. But there are other people who can speak into their lives at that time, right? And you want to find those people and drag them in with you and let them be people of influence in your child's life. You need to find who those people are. So real quick, just as you're listening to me, I'm going to give you the option. I know some of you guys just fall asleep either way, but I'm going to give you the option not to listen just for the next minute and begin writing down who those people are and pray about that and really consider who it is that you want to drag into your child's life and become a person of influence. Now, what I want to say is there is a whole wide range of ages in here, right? As I said at the beginning, there are people who are just starting into parenting. There are people whose kids are older than me, maybe you have grandkids, I don't know. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can be an influence in the life of a child. All right, my four grandparents, they all made an impact in my life, every single one of them. And it's because they took time to have a relationship with me. Now here's the deal. A lot of you don't have your families right here in town. Your grandkids might not be here. That's all right. There are a lot of kids. There's like 60 kids over in this room. There's another like 50 over on this side of the building that need your influence in their life. They need your influence in their life. You can volunteer and jump in and start building influence with kids right now. Or you can become part of someone's circle. I don't care what age you are. Use the wisdom that you have to grow influence in a child's life and help them through those times. Because like I said, there's going to be a time when they don't want to listen to their parents, and you're going to be the person that gets to speak into their life. Now, one other great way that you can widen the circle is Elevate, Expedition, Base Camp, all of these age groups for our kids, every single one of them, there are adults back there that want to develop a relationship with your kids. So every time you come and you bring them to any of those, like if you take them to Elevate on a Wednesday or a Sunday evening, they're building a relationship with an adult who cares about them. And what you need to understand, another thing for everybody in here, kids don't care about cool. They care about people who care, okay? Cool wears off. Cool wears off. But caring never does. So if you care about a kid, it's going to help you develop that influence in their life. So you want your child to meet the right people, because when you help kids meet the right people, they will have positive voices speaking into their lives even when you can't. Let's talk about the second one, which is A, add experiences. We're going to add experiences. We're going to make memories with our children. Why? Because experiences are the fertile ground for relationships to thrive. And when relationships thrive, influence grows. You know this. Have you ever found yourself in a situation with a group of people who were strangers, and then you have an experience together, and you walk out, and suddenly you feel like you know people maybe more than when you walked into the room, right? You suddenly feel like, hey, these people are my friends, they're my family, you know? And every year, I have a group of interns, and I like to do something right at the beginning of the summer, an experience, just so they can grow in relationships. So 2 years ago, I took them to an escape room. Anybody ever been to an escape room before? It's a lot of fun. You should check it out. An escape room, what they do is they lock you in the room, and there's a bunch of puzzles to solve in order to get out of the room. Now, in this particular escape room, there was also a zombie. And the zombie was on this chain on the wall, and like as time went on, his chain got longer and longer, and so you're like running around the room trying to keep away from him. But the point is, 10 people in a room together, locked in a room together, that's an experience. The interns walked out, and they knew each other a little bit better, because experiences help relationships thrive. This year, I took him paintballing, because nothing says I love you like shooting somebody with a paintball gun. So we want to build experiences into their lives. Now, not all these experiences have to be huge. I remember when my parents, when I was about 8 years old, they decided, hey, we're going to go on a trip to Yellowstone. And we're not going to fly there. We're going to drive there. So we spent 2 weeks round trip driving out to Yellowstone, visiting the park, visiting family along the way, doing all kinds of things. That was a lot of experience time. 2 weeks in the car together. But it doesn't have to be a trip all the time. It can be something small. Take your kid to a park. Dads, take your daughters on a date. Moms, take your sons on a date. Go bowling together. Experiences don't have to be big. They just have to happen. Okay? So here's what you need to do as a parent. Grab a calendar and start writing down some things that you want to do with your kids. Write down some ideas for how you can get out there and make some memories together, because those memories are going to lead to relationship, and relationships are going to lead to influence, right? And that's where we're trying to get to, the influence to actually help a child grow to be wise. Another idea is sit down as a family and start brainstorming. Make a bucket list of things that you would like to do by the time your child is 18 years old. Include them in that. They might have some really cool ideas, like, you know, skydiving or bungee jumping or something like that. I don't know. And then make it a goal that by the time they're 18, you're going to accomplish every single one of these things with them. You're going to make those memories. Because remember, where there are experiences, relationships thrive. Third thing, P, we're going to prioritize time. Prioritize time. We all have the same 24/7, you know that, 24 hours a day, and there's a lot of little moments in the day that seem kind of wasted, because they're just these routine moments that we have every single day. You know, eating, laying down to sleep, getting in the car and driving places. These are all routine moments that have happen every single day, and a lot of times, nothing comes of them. But I believe that we can redeem time. And in Deuteronomy 6, the author writes about redeeming that time. This is one of my favorite passages about parenting, so hold on to this. Deuteronomy 6 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, and press them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. There's so much goodness in that set of verses, but the thing I want to point out, he doesn't say, hey, you have to have some giant Devo time every single week where you sit down and you study the Bible. He says, no, when you're walking along the road, redeem that moment. Use it to talk to them about truth. When you're sitting down at home, redeem that moment. Use it to talk to them. Use it to build a relationship. We've got to redeem these little moments that we have every single day and turn them into something meaningful. So, an example of this is right now, one of the things my family's trying to do is every single day before we walk out the door, because we're all headed different directions. Emma's heading to preschool, Blake's heading to school, I'm heading to work, the other girls are homeschooled, so they're staying at home. But before we all walk out the door, we pray together. we pray together and we remind each other that no matter where we are that day, we belong to God. Okay? That's what we do right when we walk out the door every day. It's just a little thing. It takes 2 minutes, right? We're just redeeming a moment that before was just wasted. And you guys, you can do this too. When you sit down to eat, ask some questions. Ask things like, hey, where do you see God show up this day? And make it a ritual in your house. Start doing this regularly. When you lay them down to bed, pray with them. You know this. If you're driving them to work, maybe you could decide, hey, we're going to memorize some verses together. And so every week you have a new memory verse that you guys going, well, they're not going to work, they're going to school. But when you're driving them to school, you can do this. So redeem those moments. Build some rituals into your life. Prioritize time, because when you prioritize time, you show your children what you value. When you prioritize time, you show your children what is valuable, what is most important to you. So take those moments, take those wasted moments, in-between moments, and turn them into something special. I is about identifying needs. You guys know this is as kids grow, they change, right? But they always have these needs all along the way. They have developmental needs, physical needs. They have spiritual needs as well. That's an important one, right? When I was a kid, I did not like vegetables. I just didn't. In fact, I called people who ate vegetables grazers, and I didn't want to become a grazer. You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Why would you eat green things when there's so much good meat out there to eat? You know? That being said, my parents made me eat vegetables anyway. Sometimes they had to drown them in cheese or butter or salt or whatever, but they made me eat vegetables. Why? Because apparently vegetables are good for you. I don't know. They help you grow, right? They help you grow. So they're part of the developmental stage, the physical developmental stage of a child. But some developmental things are really obvious. Like if you're still changing the diaper on your kid when they're 10 years old, unless they have some sort of developmental disorder, then you're doing something wrong, right? But then other things are a little less obvious, and not all of us are child psychologists, and we don't know everything that's going to happen in the life of our children as they grow up. And so here's what I want you to do as parents. I want you to start being proactive instead of reactive. Be proactive instead of reactive. A reactive parent, what they do is they come across the need, and they're like, it's a crisis. Happened all the time in youth ministry. I had tons of parents come up to me and say, I never knew my kid was going to hit this stage. Were they going to skip over 16 or something? Every child has some of the same needs, the same developmental needs, the same spiritual needs as they grow older. Now, in the back, well, in your bulletin, I actually include this cool little notes thing. But on the back of the notes thing, there are a number of resources that I want to point you to that talk about developing your children, growing influence in your children. The one I specifically want to talk to is right up here at the top. It says, parenting your dot, dot, dot. Now, this company, this is actually the Reggie Joyner guy I was talking to. What they've done is they have a book for each year of your child's life. So if your child is age one, there's an age one, developing your one-year-old. If you have a 16-year-old, it's developing your 16-year-old. And all along the way, you can learn about what the developmental needs of your child are. Now, what I want to tell you to do is be proactive. Be proactive. If you have a 5-year-old, don't read the 5-year-old book. Read the 6-year-old book. Say, what's coming down the line? What are the needs of my child as they continue to grow? Don't get caught. Don't be that reactive parent that's suddenly having to react to the new needs in your child's life. Identify the needs. Meet the needs. Identify those needs. Meet those needs by being proactive. And you identify needs because when you identify needs and meet those needs, you show your child that they are valuable. When you identify and meet needs in your child's life, you're showing them that they are valuable. And the last one, T, is talk together. Talk together. I mean, this is really obvious. Talk together. But you know, as a parent, any grandparent in here, any parent who has adult children, you know that over the course of your life, you're going to have some tough conversations and you're going to have some awkward conversations, right? You're going to have, sometimes it's both at once, right? A tough, awkward conversation. Hey, you know, I found this on your phone. What's this about?
Don't ask.
Right. Exactly. That's how all the parents in here are feeling. Like, this is the part that gets awkward, is you don't want to have that conversation, but you need to have it. You're going to talk about sex, and you're going to talk about substance abuse, and you're going to talk about all kinds of things. But usually what I see parents doing is they pawn it off on somebody else. They're like, oh, the school system has a sex ed program. What do you think they're going to teach your kids in there? You think they're going to teach them healthy principles according to God's standards? No. You need to talk together. You need to be willing to have those tough and awkward conversations. But I will tell you, to have those tough and awkward conversations, you need to start with the small stuff. You need to start with the small conversations first. So as a parent, here's what you're going to do. You're going to open the door to more conversation in the life of your child. You're going to open the door to more conversation. And the best way to do this, and it's a really good habit that we can build as a parent, is we can ask more questions. We can ask more questions. In fact, we should be asking more questions than giving answers. Jesus was really good at this. You know that, right? If you look through the Gospels and you read through all the things he said, he was asking questions all the time. He was asking questions. Why? Because it got the other person to talk. It got the other person to be real. It got the other person to be a part of the conversation. When we start going into preaching mode with our kids, do you think they want to hear what you have to say? Probably not. Their ears turn off. Their eyes glaze over. Ask questions. I'm not particularly good at this habit because I have a lot of right answers. But it's something I do hope to grow in my life. It's something I want to grow. So we need to ask more questions. And not only that, be comfortable with having, like, I don't want to say dumb conversations, but let's call them unimportant conversations. Okay? Be okay with the unimportant conversations. My 7-year-old, she's at this age where she asks a lot of questions. And they're not like well thought out questions. And they don't even necessarily have anything to do with the conversation we're having at the time. But she asks questions anyway. And instead of throwing those questions out the door, I talk to her about it. Why? Because I got to talk to her in the small things before I have the influence to talk into the tough things, right? My 13-year-old, I think one of her favorite things is at bedtime, and I think this is a stalling technique, but I'm okay with it, is at bedtime we walk her into her room, we pray with her, but she's always got a question to ask. She's always got something she wants answered. And it's usually not like something important. It's usually something silly. Like, for instance, last week we talked for 5 minutes about if I was in Narnia, where would I visit? You know what I mean? Like that sort of stuff. Talk into the small things because that's going to have you give you the influence to talk about the tough things. The second thing as a parent that you need to do when you're talking together is be real and transparent. Be real and transparent. I think sometimes parents put up this facade and they try to act like they've got it all together. Don't. Your kids can see that. Your kids can see that. And the older they get, the more they realize that you're full of it. Okay? Be real and transparent. Just a couple years ago, my oldest two kids, their biological dad decided to move up north, and we had to sit down and have a tough conversation with them about why that was happening. And instead of just saying, well, here's what he did, you know, like, instead of casting all the blame for what was happening, me and Jeanette decided we're going to be real and transparent with this. And my daughter was 12 years old, and we had to talk to her about how we had chosen adultery instead of over what God had planned for our lives. We had to talk to her about substance abuse. We had to talk to her about a lot of really uncomfortable, awkward things. But you know why we could have that conversation? Because we talked about the little things first. So parents, be real and transparent because remember, our children are sponges and they will learn from us. They will learn from us. And if they're learning to just put up a facade and not be real, guess what they're going to do? They're not going to be real with you. But be real and transparent and have those tough conversations because when you have the tough conversations, when you talk together, you build the relational capital to have the tough conversations, the awkward conversations, the real conversations that they need to have in their life. So that's map it. You're going to help them meet the right people. You're going to add some experiences, prioritize time. You're going to identify and meet needs, and you're going to talk together. The second part is modeling it. Now, don't worry. This isn't an acronym. So it's not going to take nearly as long. But when we talk about modeling it, and this, I know this is going to blow your brains, but think about this. If you're modeling it, if you're acting in a wise way, it's going to help your kids act in a wise way. We already talked about how they're sponges, right? That's a no-brainer, right? In fact, Solomon goes on and he writes this. He says, "The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them." I don't know about blameless, but this idea of righteous, it means living a right life according to God's standards, doing the right thing. Now, are any of us blameless? Anybody in here? Anyone? No? No? Okay. So we're not going to be blameless, but we can choose to act in a way that honors God, right? We're going to model what it is that God has in store for our lives. And when we model it for our kids, they're going to see that, and they will understand later on that this is what God has in store for their lives. Again, in Proverbs 14:26, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress for their children. It will be a refuge. So when we choose to do things, when we choose to model what a right relationship looks like with God, our children, they're going to be blessed. Our children, they're going to have a refuge, right? We need to model it for our children. But we already talked about none of us, not a single one of us in here is blameless. We all mess up. I cannot even tell you how many times I've done something and then I've had to say, man, that was a foolish choice. Man, I really wish I hadn't said that. Man, I really wish I hadn't acted like that in front of my child. I do this all the time as a parent. I do this all the time. When Kate was just a couple years old, I put her into the fan, like the ceiling fan. It wasn't intentional, but we were playing around, and I lifted her up, and I put her in the fan. Now, dads always do dumber stuff than moms. You know this, right? Dads, you're just a little more reckless than mom. And that's okay, you know, she was all right afterwards, it was a bit of a shock, but I was like, man, I wish I didn't do that. Just recently, I put Blake into the shower, and two and a half hours later, I remembered that I had put him in. I went and got him, and we were out of hot water, and he was cold and shivering, and please don't call DCF on me, because I'm a good parent most of the time, okay? My five-year-old, Emma, she likes to argue with us, and sometimes I'll argue back, and I'll catch myself in mid-argument, arguing with a five-year-old, and I'm like, what am I doing as a parent? What went wrong, you know? We all mess up as parents, right? But here's the good news. There's no such thing as a perfect parent, but there is such thing as the perfect father, right? Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago. He came, he lived, and he died so that we could become part of the family of God. We could become a child of God. We could have a relationship with the perfect Father, the Father that doesn't mess up, the Father that never screws anything up, the Father that is perfect for us. He takes all that brokenness in our life and he tosses it out the door. He can redeem that stuff, guys. He can take all of the screw-ups, all the mess-ups that we've had in our life, and he can turn them into something beautiful. So if you want to know what that means to have a relationship with the perfect Father, I encourage you come up here afterwards. We'll talk. I've got some of our prayer team that will be up here to talk to you. Stop by the Next Step station. We want to talk with you. We had three people get baptized in between services today. Yes. Come on, that's something to be excited about. Three people that decided that they wanted to be part of the family of God. Three people that decided that they wanted a relationship with the perfect Father. We're going to have another baptism after service, so I encourage you to check around and see Savannah get baptized, right? So, yeah. So, have a relationship with the perfect Father, because if we want to be Proverbs parents, we need to map it, we need to know where we're going, and we need to model it. We need to show how it's done, because ultimately, our children don't want to follow hypocrites. They want to follow people who love them, who love Christ, and who model what that looks like. That's it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your love and grace, and I thank you that you are a perfect Father. Even when we fall short, even when we do dumb stuff and say dumb stuff to our kids, I just ask that we can become better at parenting, that we can map it, that we can really help them grow and influence so that ultimately at the end, you know, when they launch from our house, that they will be wise people, that they will make wise choices, and that they will choose to honor you with their lives, Father, and I ask that we can model it. Give us the strength to do the right thing no matter the cost, to show them who you are no matter what. We love you, Father, and you're amazing. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.